You ever make a promise? That's what we're going to be talking. We're going to start a new series today. It is entitled Promises, Promises. And as soon as I get this thing up here. We all make promises, don't we? Hey, by the way, before I get started here, I need to pray for Lee and Jake. They're home. They're sick. That's why we don't have a bass player this morning. So just keep them in prayer. Turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We're going to use this as a springboard into our message this morning. I'm sorry, 2 Corinthians. I just want you to exercise your fingers this morning a little bit. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And take a look at verse 20. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. It says, "For all the promises of God in him are yea," which basically says all the promises of God are yes, right? "Are yea, and in him, amen, unto the glory of God by us." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, again, we come to you. And Lord, we just ask that your word would have its way in our hearts this morning, Father, and that we would be changed, that we would, through your promises, God, be closer to the image of Jesus Christ. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. Well, promises, promise. We all make them, right? We all make promises. I've made promises. I've made a million promises, and I probably only kept maybe a half a million of them, right? And that's true. Have you ever made a promise? Anybody ever make a promise? Yeah, you all have. You've made promises. You know what I love about that video? Did you see that little boy says, "I promise I won't get hurt"? Do you know what he was doing? He was on a staircase with carpeting with a set of skis. Yeah, I'm not going to get hurt, right? Can you see Elijah coming down the steps, Tammy, with a set of skis? Yeah, he's not going to get hurt. And that puppy, you know, I've been there already. Now, too bad Lee's not here this morning, but Lee, you know, "Oh, I promise I'll take care of this puppy. I promise I will." Yeah, right. Yeah, I ended up taking care of the dog, and then I finally gave it away, and then I took care of, "Oh, I promise I'll take care of the cat." Then she even made a promise one time that she was going to take care of some fish. So we got her some goldfish. And she was just a little thing. And what she did was, instead of feeding them with regular fish food, she put pepper. And we were sitting at the dinner table. She put pepper in it. And here this fish is like belly up, you know. We said, "Lee, you did it in." She says, "What happened to the fish? I just fed it, you know." So, but yeah, we've all, and you know what else? Have you ever said, yeah, promises, promises, right? Have you ever said that? I've said it. I just said it the other day, and I don't know whether it was because it was the message that I was about ready to give about promises, promises, but Sue and I were in the kitchen just yesterday, and she said something, and she said if I would do this, she would do that, and I said, yeah, promises, promises. We all do it, right? All of us do that. Pastor Ron promised me that if I use his app today, that this message would be the best message I've ever preached. All right? Now, you'll notice that I don't have any paper up here. All I have is my iPad. So I'm preaching from my iPad this morning. First time. Now I am in the technology, right? See, Pastor Ron is a computer geek. All right? He's the guy that you call and he's the guy you call when you can't figure something out. Like, "Hey, my remote control won't work. Pastor Ron, can you come over and help me out?" Yeah, he'll come over and he'll say, "See this button right here? It says power. Use it. Turn it on." Pastor Ron was one of the guys that at UPS, when I would work at UPS, I'd love it because I was a manager and I would periodically, I had a laptop and I would travel around periodically and I'd need some help. And I'd call the help desk and who would I get? "Pastor Ron, did you check the plug? Is it turned on? Did you..." And that's what would happen. But he promised me. See, what happens is he made this app for Apple. It's an Apple application, and it's called Podium Q. So if you do any public speaking at all, you're going to want this app, okay? Don't base it on me and my preaching today. Base it on, you know, Ron, Pastor Ron, when he does it. But you know what? In our world, promises are commonplace, right? I mean, every day we make promises. We had promises. We make them all the time. You know, like product promises. You know, the other day I got some products. They actually work. I was amazed, you know, because all the gimmick stuff that you find, you know, the gimmicks that the guy just recently died a couple years ago or whatever. He used to get on there. I don't even remember his name, but he used to sell everything. What was it? Billy, yeah. So I went to the home show, and I'm looking for, I wasn't looking for this, but they said that there's this great taper, you know? It really works. It tapes. Man, she was just zipping this taper around, man, going. I said, that's what I want. $20, I'll throw $20 to that. And it actually works. But that's one promise that actually worked. And then I bought one of those edgers that you roll along the edge of everything and you can edge your house when you're painting. It actually works. But there's promises of products all the time, right? You see on television all the time. Then there's the vows that we make. The marriage vows, you know, the promises before God that I'll love you forever. Death do us part and all that stuff. We all make those kind of promises. We make promises to friends and we don't take promises very seriously though, do we? Do we? Do we take promises really serious? As kids, we would say, "Do you promise?" Do your kids ever do that? I know. I used to do that all the time. I used to say, "Dad, do you promise?" Lee, you used to come to me and say, "Dad, you promise? You promise you'll take me here? You promise?" You know what? We went from pinky swear. Did you see the little girl pinky swear? I didn't know what pinky swear means. Okay. I thought it was a girl thing. Pink, you know, that's probably not something that I want to say pinky swear to. But until I found out that that's what this little finger's called. But it wasn't until I was an adult. So I never made pinky swears. But we went from pinky swear to sign here. To sign here. Promises just don't mean anything anymore. They really don't. A handshake. Handshakes. I love the American Pickers. You ever watch American Pickers on the History Channel? What they'll do is they'll say, all right, they'll barter back and forth. They'll say, okay, $100 or whatever, 50, 75. When they agree, they shake hands. That means that handshake means something. And years ago, when you shook or you said, even in the Bible, it says, let your yes be yes and your no be no. So, but nowadays, it's not that way. It's not. Buying a house. You have to chop down 10 trees for the paper that it takes to buy a house, right? Because if it's not in writing, you don't have to do it. It doesn't make any difference of what you said. It makes a lot of difference on the handshake, though. You know, I had just recently sold a house and I purchased the house. And man, the paperwork. We signed for an hour. Just one paper after, because they don't trust you. You tell them that you're going to pay the loan back. They don't. Oh, yeah, you're going to pay the loan back. Right. Yeah, we'll sign here just in case you mess up. Because it's no guarantee. You know, and you've seen, you know, the guarantees, the 100% money back guarantees now that they have on TV, right? You see them everywhere. If you buy the product, I'll guarantee 100% satisfaction. We did that even with Lowe's. We purchased a kitchen last year, the kitchen from hell. Do you remember? And they were good on it. I mean, they 100% guaranteed, but fortunately we sold the house. And probably if you invited somebody, I see a couple of new people here today, but if you invited somebody today to come to church, you probably promised them a lunch, right? And now if they didn't, look at them and say, hey, you know what? You owe me a lunch, right? Even though we don't count on the 100% guarantee anymore, they are still a big deal in our lives today, aren't they? Promises are very much a big deal. And they're a big deal in our relationships too. Our family relationships, promises are huge, huge. Business agreements, those promises that we make, our marriages, the promises that we make are huge. Promises, and get this, is the invisible currency of our relationships. Okay? Promises. They're the invisible currency of our relationships. How we make deposits and withdrawals. We exchange promises. They define our relationship, whether they're unspoken or spoken. Those promises are huge. Huge. Just for instance, Disney World. Disney World advertises you will have a magical moment when you're in Disney World. Am I right? I mean, we go down to Disney World every year, and sometimes twice a year. We love it. We take the boys down, and we've had you guys down a couple of times or one time anyway, and we just love it. We love it. But what if you went down there and it wasn't very magical? Well, I can say it wasn't very magical for me, was it, Pastor Ron? The last two times I've gone down, I threw my guts up and was absolutely miserable after getting off of a ride. But you know what? It's the same thing with Disney World or any products that we buy or anything like that. If it doesn't work, you're just not going to buy it anymore, are you? You're not. Why do it? And then promises differ. Promises made in your marriage, they're different from the ones that you make to your mailman. Unless you're married to your mailman, right? But they're different. Promises are all different. They differ. Unless it's how we believe because someone promised you something. This is huge. You see, because of things in the past, and we're gonna go back, and we're gonna have to, when I'm gonna give you a commission today to go back and take a look at some of the promises that were broken to you in your past. Some of the promises that you broke in your past. Okay? Because you can't move forward in your relationship with God, in your belief in God, unless you deal with some of the past relationships and past failures and past performance and promises and performance. That's how we judge our relationships. Just think, did you ever see a Krispy Kreme? We don't have them here anymore, but do you remember Krispy Kremes? They used to have that Hot Now sign. Do you remember that? They used to be up on billboards. They'd say, Hot Now. Hot Now. All right. Now, Hot Now meant that you can go and you can have a donut, a Krispy Kreme donut, that when you took a bite, and it was hot. I mean, it would come right off the grill there, right out of the oven, and you'd walk in and they'd hand you one. Did you ever do that? Oh, yeah. And you'd put it in your mouth, and it would melt. You didn't even have to chew it. It would melt right into your mouth, all the gooey ingredients that came to make it, right? And it would just melt in your mouth, and it would and just slide down your throat. Now everybody's going to want a Krispy Kreme, right? But what if you went and 4 times out of 10, there wasn't anything there? That you went in, it said Hot Now, but you went in and they weren't hot now. It would make a difference, right? It would make a huge difference. You wouldn't go there anymore. Dependent on the promises made will determine the relationship you will have with that person. You wouldn't go back to Disney World anymore. You wouldn't go, if it's not magical, if you're going to throw up every time you go, you're not going to go. That's not very magical to me. I could go find some other magic somewhere else, right? I'm not going to have to go to Disney World to do that. And then, what about Krispy Kreme? You probably wouldn't do that. What about when people say, you know what? I'll be there for you. What if a person says and tells you over and over and over and over again, I will be there for you. You ever hear that? Hear it all the time. I'll be there for you. And the next minute they leave the church. How many times people will say, you know, Pastor Joe, I promise I'll be here forever. This is my church. You're like my dad. And 2 weeks later, where are they? Promises made, right? Promises. Tells you over and over again. And they weren't. They didn't take it. It breaks the relationship. It causes you to act differently. We move in the direction of the promises made to us. We do. Our lives, all our lives, we chase promises that are made to us. We chase them. We chase promises of comfort, of opportunity. I'll be there for you forever. We lean on and chase our promises in our marriages. We're looking for that promise keeper. And some of you can reflect back on how someone had impacted your life because they were a promise keeper. Can you? Yeah. Lots of people. There were promise keepers. You know, and I love that. I love when I can depend on somebody and they can say, my sister was a promise keeper. She's always been there for me. Always. She's always been a promise keeper. Which is awesome. And I'm sure that you can tell me some amazing stories about someone in your life who has been a promise keeper. And there are also some stories of promise breakers. And when that happens, you will find it very, very difficult to trust anyone in the future. Isn't that true? When somebody breaks a promise to you, it's hard. It's hard to trust. Man, I'll tell you what, in my past, I've had that happen to me. I've had people who made me promises and then didn't keep them. And they weren't just, I'll be there for lunch tomorrow. They were huge, huge promises broken. Huge. Life-changing promises. Life-changing. And it was very difficult for me to be able to trust not only that person, but anyone. Anyone. That's why it's so important that promises are so important in growing our faith. No matter what the promises were, they will have an effect on our future and our faith and growing our faith. Growing our faith is not about making more promises to God, okay? Don't make more promises to God that you can't keep. But it's believing more of the promises of God. You get that? Growing our faith is not about making more promises to God, but believing more of the promises of God. So it's difficult to trust because of our broken promises of our past. And you may even think that you have a promise of God and it's not happened. Just think about John. Turn your Bibles to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. And that's where we're going to pretty much stay in John. John chapter 15. Take a look at verse 16. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye ask of the Father in my name, and Jesus is speaking here, whatsoever you ask in my name, he may give it you. Now, take a look at 16:23. Jesus is still speaking. And it says, in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Now, Jesus says, ask it in my name, and I'm going to give it to you. And you say, well, you know what? I've asked God, and it didn't come through. And I asked him in Jesus' name, and it didn't come through. It didn't work. He broke his promise. And because of broken promises, you have trouble trusting other promises. And there are lots of stories. In the Bible where God promises. Think about Abraham and Sarah. God promised Abraham and Sarah to have a son. Am I right? Gonna have a son. They're old. And it didn't, he said, you know what, Abraham? You are going to have so many children. Now remember, Sarah is barren. You are going to have so many children that it'll be the number of the stars in the sky or the sand of the seashore. That's how many. That's a lot of kids, right? That's huge. And she's barren. So how's that going to happen? So they took things into their own hands, right? They took things into their own hands, and now they still are dealing with that mistake. They're still dealing with it. Where do you think those people came from that are against Israel today? Where did you think they come from? And then again, you know, and then when they're 100 years old, God confirms this promise. And what does Sarah do? She laughs. She laughed at the promise of God. That's crazy. She laughed. God says, I'll make you a nation, a great nation. You will be the father of a nation that you won't even be able to number. What about Moses? God promised the promised land to Moses, right? A land flowing with milk and honey. And what happened? He ended up in the wilderness for 40 years, right? What kind of promise is that? What about David? David promised a kingdom that would last forever. Think about this. David, you will have a kingdom that will last forever. And then his kingdom is divided. And Philistines come in and take them away. The Midianites come in and take them away. Take them to Babylon. Where's your promise? Where's your promise? How about John? John the Baptist. Now, this is the person we're going to look at today. The first person, John the Baptist, to break God silent after 400 years. It's the first person. After 400 years. Let me give you a little background on John. Just go ahead and look at Isaiah. Just hold your finger in John. Look at Isaiah chapter 40. Because this is going to be really, 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 really important. Okay? What we're going to talk about now. John chapter 40 and verse 3, it says, the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. John the Baptist. John the Baptist is the forerunner to Jesus Christ. He's the one that was crying in the wilderness saying that this is he who is going to prepare the way for the Messiah, for the Savior. He's going to prepare it. Here's what happens. The archangel, Michael, comes to Zacharias, his mom, or his dad, and Elizabeth, his mother. She's too old. She's old. She can't have kids anymore. All right? Some of you are in that boat. She can't have kids. So the angel says, you're going to have a child. And he's going to be the forerunner of Jesus Christ, who is going to be the Messiah. And she says, and Zacharias said, well, you know, I'm old. So how's this going to happen? And immediately, he lost his voice. He became dumb. He couldn't say another word. Now, he's in the temple. He's this guy. He's one of the priests in the temple. And they're worried. He's been in there for a long time. And they think he's died or something like that. And so when he comes out, he can't speak. But he goes home, and guess what happens? His wife's pregnant with John the Baptist. Now here, well, let's talk about Mary a little bit. An angel comes to Mary. Same thing. Michael the archangel says, hey, Mary, you are going to have a child. And she questions only because, hey, you know what, Lord? I've never been with a guy. So how am I going to have that happen? And he says, well, the Holy Spirit will come over you, and you will have a child of God, and he will be the Savior. He will be the Messiah. You know what? No one can make this stuff up. Really. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. You can't. There's no way. Four people write the same story. So Mary goes over to Elizabeth, and the baby, as soon as the baby hears Mary's voice, the baby leaps in her belly. And then they were both born. John goes into the wilderness like Elias. He begins preaching as one who is crying in the wilderness. And in John 1:23, take a look at chapter 1 in John 1:23. It quotes Isaiah. It says, he said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Elias. Now, the very next day, verse 29 says, the next day. See, I told you it was going to be the next day. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and said, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. John the Baptist was absolutely, positively sure that Jesus was who he said he was. He was absolutely, no doubt in his mind. He says, I don't even know this guy, but the Holy Spirit tells me who he is. John was so sure, you wouldn't just proclaim this. You can't just proclaim Jesus unless you know him. Right? He was absolutely certain. And then, John, in verse 32, it says, and John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove. Now, this is the testimony that he's giving. And it abode upon him, and I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remain on him, the same is he which baptized with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. John the Baptist. There he is. This is Jesus. No mistaking. No mistaking who this is. Then everybody starts, instead of following John the Baptist, everybody starts to follow Jesus. That's when the miracles start to happen. Miracles start to happen, and preaching starts up, and they start to follow him and follow him, and they were calling him Savior and Messiah. Now, meanwhile, John the Baptist speaks out against what Herod's doing. See, Herod married his brother's wife. That was illegal. Couldn't do that. And John the Baptist made him feel guilty about that. He preached out against it. So what they did is they threw him in prison. And then they eventually beheaded him. Now, John's here. He hears all the great things that Jesus is doing. Then I want you to take a look at Matthew chapter 11. You know, here's a guy that his testimony is that Jesus is Lord, and he's who he says he is. Then in Matthew 11, 2 and 3 says, I should go to 11 like I told you to. Now, when John had heard, now John's in prison. When John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Of all the people that should have known and believed the promises of God, hearing everything that had happened, all the miracles, everything, seeing the dove, the Holy Spirit, descending upon Jesus Christ himself. He didn't believe it. All the signs. He said, go and ask Jesus if he's the one, or do we have to wait for another one? Does that make you feel a little bit better when you don't believe promises and trust people? Does that make you feel a little bit better knowing that John the Baptist, who knew better, that when God promises us something and he doesn't come through, does that make you feel a little bit better? It makes me feel a little bit better. After all, John the Baptist, holy cow. John had a difficult time believing because of what? Circumstances. Circumstances. This wasn't how he had figured it all out. This isn't how it was supposed to happen, God. I'm not supposed to be in prison. I'm not supposed to get my head chopped off. Jesus Christ is supposed to come, and he was supposed to be a ruler and reigner over the world. This wasn't how it happened. 4,000 years of promises, and many that weren't fulfilled. And now, this is where you and I fit into this story this morning. John knew the promises, but he began to presume. He presumed how the promises should go. He's the one. He knew, he had all the facts, he watched everything happen, and then he presumed how it should happen. He didn't think he would be in prison. After all, the Messiah, the Liberator, was coming. And he has come. And Herod would be dethroned, Jesus would be on the throne. And we start to presume. We have a script on how it should be, each and every one of us right now probably have a promise of either God or a promise of somebody else, and we presume in our heads what it's supposed to turn out like, how it's supposed to go. When things don't go according to the script that we see in our minds, then we consider them broken promises, like all the other broken promises of our past. We relate that to God's promises. Our presumptions of how God will fulfill his promise to us. And this will often weaken our faith. It will absolutely weaken our faith when he doesn't come through the way that we think he should. And I believe a fragile faith is attached to presumptions. But a stable faith is attached to God's promises. Regardless of our circumstance, when we start thinking about our circumstances, we are putting our faith in us. Our kids do it all the time. We may say to our children, and you've probably said this in the past, and they say, "Daddy, can I do this?" or "Mommy, can I do this?" And you say, "Okay, we'll do that if we have time." To them, that is, "You promised. You promised." But that's not a promise. That wasn't what they promised. "You can do it if we have time." But to them, it's, "Yes. You just said yes, that I will." They hear that and presume it is a promise. Before you can move forward in your faith, you must go back to the promises of the past. Paul says that all of God's promises are yes. I've got a couple of questions I want you to think about. What unresolved, broken promise is in your past? So parents, marriage, friendships, whatever. Your faith is affected in the broken promises of your past. See, John had presumed and saw 4,000 years of promises that weren't fulfilled yet. Not necessarily the fact that they weren't done, they just weren't fulfilled yet. And those affect us. Your faith is injured, and you must forgive so you can move forward. If you have broken promises in your life, you need to go back and you need to forgive. And then you need, if you are the promise breaker, then you need to ask for forgiveness. Question number two, what area of life do I have a difficult time surrendering to God? Whatever that is, whatever is driving your fear, a broken promise, it's preventing you from moving forward in your faith. Remember, growing in our faith is not about making more promises to God, but believing more of the promises of God. Wouldn't it be worth going back and working this out so you could move forward in your faith? God is a promise keeper. You have to trust him, and you need to go back and think of all the promises God has kept. When John looked around at his circumstances, they didn't line up with his presumptions. When you look back, the promises that God has made you, do they line up with what you maybe think, maybe put on your timeline? I'm going to finish with this one illustration. It's a personal illustration. Sue and I lived in Connersville. You all know that. And we both read and ask God, "God, do you want us to move back to Uniontown? Is it something that you want us to do?" Both of us got scripture saying, "Yeah, you need to move back to Uniontown." So we said, okay, we're going to follow God. We're going to be obedient to God. So we put our house up for sale, but then we put a timeline. We presumed that, okay, God, now we're going to give you some guidelines on your promise. Because he's going to find us a place, but I'm going to make sure that you follow my guidelines, God, because I've got some presumptions here. So we said, we'll give you 6 months to sell the house, and it didn't sell in 6 months. So we spent another $40,000 on our house. And 8 months of sheer hell. I mean, it was the worst 8 months that I think I've ever had put on this earth, because the house was a wreck because of the construction, and you know what had gone on. And then when God was ready, he sold our house. If I'd only said, God, you told me to move. Let me wait on your timeline. Let me be on your timeline. I wouldn't have gone through sheer hell for 8 months. I wouldn't have taken $40,000 and put it into a house that I never was able to get back out of. It was crazy. What are you guys doing? What are you all doing? Do you have a promise of God that you're putting presumptions on? So here's what you do this week. This week, because you cannot move forward in your faith until you go back and work on some of those promises. And ask for forgiveness and give forgiveness. Would you all stand? Every head bowed, every eye closed. I want you to think about what I just said. I want you to think about some of the broken promises of your past and how it's stifling your growth towards God. And I want you to think about some of the broken promises, some of the promises that were broken to you, and some of the promises you broke to others. And I really need you to pray about that. And I'll open the altar, and if you're wanting to come down and just say, God, you know what? I'm really weak in this area. I really don't want to go to a person who I've broken promise to. I need your strength. Won't you come down? Just pray. Just stay. Come down and whatever God has laid on your heart this morning, I need you to come down. I need you to come down and just lay it at the altar this morning so that you can move forward, because you can't move forward until you actually go back and take care of some unfinished business. Won't you come? And then I have another prayer request right now. Is Xenia and her family left this morning? Her dad isn't going to make it through the day. So if you want to even come down here and pray for Austin and pray for Xenia's family and her dad and some of the other things, won't you come? Won't you come? Don't be ashamed. Don't be bashful. Just come on down and just lay your petitions before an almighty God this morning. Don't delay.
Left my fear by the side of the road to hear you speak and won't let go. I fall to my knees as I lift my hands to pray. I got every reason to be here again. The Father's love that draws me in, and all my eyes wanna see is a glimpse of you. All I need is you. All I need is you, Lord. Is you, Lord. All I need is you. All I need is you, Lord, is you, Lord. One more day and it's not the same. Your spirit calls my heart to sing, and drawn to the voice of my Savior once again. Where would my soul be without your Son? He gave his life to save the earth, and rest in the thought that you're watching over me. All I need is you. All I need is you, Lord. Is you, Lord. All I need is you. All I need is you, Lord. Is you, Lord.
Father God, help us this week, Lord, to reflect back and to move so we can move forward, Lord. So that we can move forward in our belief that your promises, as Paul says in 2 Corinthians 1:20, that they are yes. That all of your promises, that we can trust you, but we have to go back first. Because the broken promises of our past dictate to us who we trust and what we can trust, Father. So allow us to go back this week so that we can move forward in our faith for you, Father. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.